dear fellow repentant sinners, who have come to the cross to see the Son of God lay down His life as a ransom for our sins, that He might atone our sins and reconcile us to God, grace and peace to you in His holy name. Throughout our midweek Lenten services this year, we have been considering the theme of See His Cross, and we've taken a look at surprising words from our Savior's Passion. Surprising words that are intended to focus our hearts and our minds on the cross of Jesus Christ in a right and fitting way. Tonight, as we assemble on this most sacred of days, when the very Son of God died, we consider words that probably are not all that surprising to you. Words that you have heard probably many times before in your life and are very familiar with. One of the phrases of Jesus from the cross, which we heard in our gospel lesson tonight, it is surprising nonetheless to hear these words and consider what exactly was meant with these words and who it was that was saying them. And it is this surprising word from our Savior's Passion that truly causes us to see His cross in a right way. On this most solemn occasion, I would direct your hearts and minds to the dying word of our Savior from the cross, recorded in John chapter 19, verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, "It is finished." And bowing His head, He gave up His spirit. This is the very word of God, given and preserved for us today by the work of God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so we pray tonight with the psalmist, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen." How many of you can identify with a problem that I often run into? The problem of thinking I'm done with a project only to find out I forgot something. Last week I was doing my taxes and thought I had finished my taxes and was somewhat satisfied with the return I would be getting. But I knew I better check over those taxes one time more at least. And even though I thought I was finished, going over it again, I found a deductible that I didn't realize I could apply, thus saving our family hundreds of dollars. Maybe that's something you can identify with. Or maybe you can remember back to your childhood or the days when your children were in school and you asked them, "Did you get your homework done?" "Oh, yes, yes, I got it done." "Can I see it?" "Well, why did you ask to see the homework?" "Because you wanted to make sure, even though they said they were finished, that they didn't miss anything." And how many times were there for you personally, or looking over your child's work, did you find that though they thought they were finished, though you thought you were finished with your hard work and your project, there was still more to do? That is so often the case with us, isn't it? We think we finished something. We think we've worked so hard to attain that goal, only to get done and find out, there's more to do. Tonight, as we consider our Savior's death on the cross, we want to consider that very thing. When God says He is finished with something, is He really finished with it? Is it really done? Is it really completed? Take, for instance, the act of creation. Listen to what we read in Genesis 1:31. "Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good." Is somebody else hearing voices?
I am.
Yeah. It's the radio?
Yeah, you're catching over something.
Oh, okay. That's still coming through there. Okay. Well, I got competition, but I'll try to overpower them. So, one more time, taking a look at Genesis 1:31. Listen to what God says on the sixth day of creation. He says, "God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. So what do we read there about creation on the sixth day? God looked at it, and it was finished. It was completed. There was nothing lacking. Nothing was missing from His creation. It was finished, and it was very good. Now, which of us is going to say about creation, well, God forgot something. God thought He was done with creation, but oh, a few weeks later He realized, you know what, I forgot. I forgot gravity. Or I forgot some law of physics. No. When God finishes something, it is complete. It is perfect. There is nothing missing, nothing lacking. With this in mind, we return to tonight's surprising word from our Savior's Passion. This word of Jesus was spoken that first Good Friday, about 3:00 in the afternoon. Jesus had been on the cross for 6 hours, nailed hand and foot. The last 3 hours had been spent in darkness. And we read in our gospel lesson that just prior to saying this, Jesus said, I thirst. He was thirsty. And we can only imagine why. Those 6 hours on the cross were indeed excruciating, painful, suffering. Furthermore, He was on the precipice of death. And with a sponge of sour wine was pressed to Jesus' mouth, which is hardly much of a thirst quencher. Jesus then says, it is finished. And then Jesus died. Now, it is finished doesn't sound like that surprising of a word from our Savior's Passion when somebody's about to die. It's finished. My life is done. My time on the cross is done. I don't have to suffer anymore. It's finished. It does not seem that surprising until we consider what exactly Jesus meant when He said that word. When Jesus said it is finished, He meant much more than His life was finished or that His time of pain on the cross was finished. When Jesus said it is finished, He was completing something that had been begun 4,000 years ago. It was in the Garden of Eden, God's perfect creation. God had given man, Adam and Eve, just one commandment. He said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. The devil tempted our first parents, holy and perfect as they were, to sin against God. And Adam and Eve gave into that temptation. And they sinned. And they disobeyed. And they brought death, guilt, and shame into what was once God's very good creation. But God in His amazing grace had a plan. He had a plan to save us. To the tempter, God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. From the seed of the woman, God promised one that would come and crush the head of the tempter, the one who tempted Adam and Eve to sin. He would deal a fatal blow to the head of the devil, and in the process, he would suffer a bruised heel. This is what Jesus finished. This is what He accomplished on the cross. Yes, He suffered a bruised heel. Yes, He died. But it was just a temporary flesh wound. On the third day, He rose from the dead. The devil, on the other hand, took a fatal blow to the head, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. It is finished. What God promised in the Garden of Eden was finished by Jesus on the cross as he crushed the head of the devil under his heel. Throughout the Old Testament, God continued to give promises and pictures of his plan of salvation. King David prophesied at length in the Psalms about all that the Promised One would go through. In Psalm 22, he writes of hands and feet being pierced, of garments being cast, lots being cast for garments, drinking sour wine. In Psalm 41, he writes of a betrayal by a friend. It is finished, Jesus said. He fulfilled these prophecies which David wrote hundreds of years before, as he was betrayed by his friend Judas, nailed hand and foot to the cross, as the soldiers cast lots for his garment, and as he was given sour wine to drink. Our Old Testament lesson, we heard more of what the Lord Jesus would need to finish. Through his prophet Isaiah in chapter 53, the Lord reveals in depth the suffering that the servant of the Lord would endure. He would have the wrath of God focused on him as he bore the sins of us all. He would be smitten, stricken by God and afflicted. He would be wounded. He would be crushed. He would be led to the slaughter. Jesus finished all of this. On the cross, he bore all of our sins and the sins of the whole world. On the cross, the wrath of God was poured out against him on account of our sin. Jesus, the Lamb of God, suffered for the sin of the world. But he said, "It is finished." He suffered for them all. All of the sins of us. All of the sins of the world. He completed it. It is finished. Isaiah also revealed in our Old Testament lesson that the servant of the Lord would do no violence, nor would there be any deceit in his mouth. This too Jesus finished. He lived a life in which he never spoke a hard word to anyone who did not deserve it. He was perfect and holy in every way. He did not lash out in violence. He never told a lie. He never once sinned against the will of his Father. He was sinless to the end. It is finished. Jesus had lived a perfect life, free of sin, righteous in every way. Every last prophecy of the Old Testament scriptures about the Savior was finished. And with that, Jesus breathed his last. Let us continue with our hymn, hymn 170, verses 5, 6, and 7. Understand now what Jesus finished. He finished suffering for the sins of the world. He finished living a perfect life. And he finished fulfilling all of Old Testament scripture. But we also need to remember who is saying it is finished from the cross. It is the eternal Almighty Son of God. As we confess in the Nicene Creed, it is God of God. Light of light, very God of very God. As John writes in the first chapter of his gospel, it is the Word made flesh, who was with God and who was God from the beginning, who was active in creation. It is God himself saying, "It is finished." And just like what he finished at creation was indeed very good, so too what the Son of God finished on Calvary's cross was indeed very good. The Son of God finished everything necessary for us to be saved. He took our sin, our guilt, our shame on Himself. On the cross, He suffered the wrath of God over and against sin. And He finished suffering for it. The death sentence has been handed out already. God's wrath has been laid on Jesus as He takes our punishment on Himself. And the result is we are forgiven. It is finished. And if the Son of God says it is finished, then it is finished. We are forgiven. We are reconciled, redeemed, made one with God. Our sins have been wiped out. Paul writes to the Colossians, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. As Luther says, God has thrown our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. It is finished. We are forgiven. Not only did He finish taking away all of our sins, He also finished living a life free of sin that God required of us. In His faithfulness to God, His righteousness, His holiness, His life of love is now given to you. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Notice that Paul doesn't say we were righteous, but because of Christ's obedience, we are made righteous. Paul also writes that the Father made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That was the great exchange. God took every last one of our sins and placed them on Jesus, and took the righteousness of Jesus and gave it to us. It is finished. The Son of God has pronounced it finished. He lived the perfect life for us, and through faith in Him, God gives us His righteousness. By His sacrificial death on the cross, all our sins are gone, forgiven and forgotten. It is finished. Now let's go back to that illustration about creation being finished. How God at the end of 6 days looked upon His creation, saw it was very good, and pronounced it to be finished. So who objects to that? Who dares to say, that rose, I think I can improve it, God. Or the stars as You have them aligned in the heaven, I think I can get a better arrangement for You, God. I don't think You finished it like You thought You finished it. No one would say that. That would be ridiculous. If God says He finishes something, that means it's complete. Nothing's lacking, nothing's missing. So why is it we struggle with the forgiveness and the righteousness that Jesus finished on the cross? It is on Good Friday, you can usually hear news stories about followers of Jesus who nail themselves to a cross because they want to suffer with Him. You can hear other stories of individuals who feel that they need to do something to add to Jesus' death on the cross. Like Jesus left something out. Like there's more that needs to be done. He was righteous, but we need to add to His righteousness. We're forgiven, but we need to do something to earn that forgiveness. What is it Jesus says? It's finished. We are forgiven. We are declared righteous because He was righteous. And it is very good. There is nothing lacking for us for our salvation. It is finished. We cannot, and we need not try to add anything to His perfect life and His innocent death. Jesus finished it. We begin to see what a surprising word this is. Because we're tempted to think we need to add to Jesus' death on the cross. We need to add something to get His forgiveness and His righteousness. But it's surprising to hear that God in His grace does everything for us. For by grace have ye been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's also surprising that the Son of God finishes it for us. God, whom we had sinned against, redeems us, forgives us, reconciles us unto Himself. Jesus finished it. When we understand that by His death on the cross, Jesus finished everything necessary for us to be saved, then and only then do we truly see His cross. Let us ever continue to be surprised and amazed at this simple word of our dying Savior. It is finished. Praise be to the Lamb of God, slain on the altar of the cross to take away the sin of the world. Then for all that wrought my pardon, for thy sorrows deep and sore, for thine anguish in the garden, I will thank thee evermore. Thank thee for thy groaning, sighing, for thy bleeding and thy dying, for that last triumphant cry, and shall praise thee, Lord on high. Amen.